Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
This morning we are having a family service, and the next few ones will be family services. It's good to see our children and our youth together with us, and we are going to try and keep you engaged, interested, not bored. And I think I'm one of the least people to do that. I'm one of the ones who are least likely to do that, because I preach and I teach. My aspiration is to become a theologian. You know, some of the theologians have been going home in very quick, rapid succession. John MacArthur, Tim Kelly, and all these kind of guys. So that's my desire. So sometimes what I teach might go, and I don't want that to happen. So for today, I'm going to try and involve you in my preach, which is going to take about 20 minutes so that you don't get bored. We are going to start with a quiz. And the quiz we are going to start with, we need to have two teams, one on this side and one on this side. So I need three people in every team. I need a young saints person, I need a youth from the consecrate, and I need an adult. Okay, I forgot, I had a box of chocolates as a prize. I forgot to bring that today. So at the end of the service, we'll see what's left from our refreshments desk, and you'll have that as your prize. If not, next week, I will make good, and I will bring you medals. So can we have three people here and three people here? Quickly. One person from Consecrate, Young Saints, and an adult. Consecrate, Young Saint, adult. Well done. Stand there. All right. So between you two. Okay. So come this side. Yep. So I need one person from Young Saints and I need two adults, please. All right. Stay there. Well done. Awesome. Thank you. Good. Thank you very much. Oh, girls and boys. Interesting. All right. So I'm going to move my lectern here. And then I want you to face each other, but I need your eyes on the screen. You need three papers for this activity and pen. And okay, so these questions I'm just about to ask you will fit right into my preach. My preach today is minding the little things, and my topic per se is catching the little foxes. But we cannot do that because most of the time it's the big things we have to take care of and pay attention to as well. So I've got three questions that I need to ask you. And question number one is on the screen. So what I need you to do as a team is to discuss and come up with the answer and write it down. Don't say a word to the rest of us. Okay, which one is more deadly? So discuss, Michael. Yeah. Which one do you think is more deadly? A lion or a mosquito? Feel free to discuss as well as a congregation. Oh, thank you. You've got a prize. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Yvonne. Have you got an answer? Yeah, write it down. Awesome. Let's go to the next one. Next slide. Which one causes more property damage? Is there a thunderstorm or a leakage? The T is missing there. It's supposed to be a thunderstorm. The T is there somewhere. You can write a big one. So just write a very big one. Yeah. Okay. Are we done? Awesome. And the last one. Which one is more destructive? There's a question mark missing there. Which one is more destructive? Is it an elephant or is it rats or mice? Which ones? Ordinarily, I would ask you to explain your answer, so you might want to have that in mind. Okay, we're done? Brilliant. Now, I've got a bonus question for you, and this is very interesting. In the Bible, in the book of James, chapter 3, there are four things, four small things that control big things. Four small things that control four big things. Try and discuss and see if you can name at least two. Discuss and see if you can name at least two. In the Bible, in the book of James, chapter 3, there are four small things that control very big things. Think about two. Right, just hazard a guess. Counting down. 5, 4, 3. Yeah, write them down. Okay. I will restart the timer for you to write down. Just write two things, yeah. 5, 4. 3, 2, 1. Time is up. Okay, now let's come forward. Let's come forward here, please. Yep. So what I need to do now is in your teams, let's go to the first question. The first question was, which is more deadly? Please show what you wrote is more deadly. Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes. So let's go to answers. Yep, that is the correct answer. So according to statistics, mosquitoes kill more people than any other animal on earth, surpassing all wars in history. They cause roughly 700,000 to over 1 million deaths each year by spreading dangerous diseases. Please put up your hand if you didn't know that. Thank you very much. Yeah, sorry? All right. Brilliant. So, 1 point for each team. I don't know who's going to take the score for us. Megan, are you happy to take the score for us? Brilliant. 1-1. Okay, brilliant. Question number two. Which one destroys or causes more property damage? What did you write? Leakage. Leakage. Okay. We are doing well. Yeah, so according to some money supermarket insurance websites, 90% of all home insurance claims comprises of property damage caused by water leakage. Single most common domestic property issue impacts one in every 60 insured homes annually. So that means it is likely to be more than that, but those are the only ones we've got from the insurance companies. And storm and weather damage, it does cause damage, but 13%, just 13% to 14% of total property insurance claims. So water damage, 90% home. Storm and weather, total property including homes. Well done. Last one on the screen. Which one is more destructive? Please show your answers. Rats and mice. Excellent. So in overall terms and global volume, rats and mice cause exponentially more total destruction due to their sheer numbers, global distribution, and constant presence. So rodent damage to wiring is a leading cause of unexplained fires in residential and agricultural buildings. Shall we give a loud of applause to them, please? A round of applause. And I think this now is a tiebreaker. James chapter 3, what four items, or four things rather, control big things? What did you come up with? Okay, ladies first. What did you come up with? Perseverance, faith, and love. How many think that she is right? Computer says, dun, dun. Thank you. And what did you come up with? Courage. Okay, from the congregation, what are the four things in the book of James chapter 3 that control big things? One by one? Yes, Isabel? A rudder. What does a rudder control? A ship. Well done. Nelson? The tongue. What does the tongue control? The body, the whole life, the speech. Yes, Lumi? The bit in horse's mouth. Yeah, well done. And one other thing? A spark. What does it cause? A fire. Excellent. Thank you very much. So, in no particular order, where will you like to donate your point? Where would you like to donate your point? There or here? The girls. Nelson, where are you donating your point? Boys. That's going to be a tie. Lumi, where are you donating your point? The boys. Tamsin, where are you donating your point? The girls. It's a tie. So, it's a tie. There's a box of some celebration sweets here, please. At the end of the service, feel free to share. Can we just clap for them and say thank you? Well done. So, yeah, thank you very much. Distribute to the others at the end of the service. Well done, guys. Thank you very much. Have a seat. Thank you. Well done. Yeah, keep the papers. Keep the papers there. Thank you. Yeah. No, the pen. I need the pens back. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, that is my preach for today done. If you have your Bibles, please open Songs of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 15. For those who don't know, Songs of Solomon is in the Bible. It's after the book of Ecclesiastes. Before we go to Isaiah, some of the versions call it Song of Songs. Bible says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. You see, from what you've just discovered, from the activity that we've done, that big things have the ability to shock and overwhelm us because they appear big. But it's the little small things that tend to shape our lives. In incremental measure, little things can do a lot of damage. And the Bible here talks about a vineyard that is in the bloom. It has tender grapes, and the owner of the vineyard is concerned because there is some spoiling that is happening, not from the big animals, not from the elephants, not from the bears, but from some tiny little creatures. He's calling the little foxes. And I believe that God is calling us today to give attention to the small things that impact our lives. I don't know how many people here are HGV or LGV drivers. You know, those long vehicles. Whether I'm driving a small car, I don't know who has the smallest car, that is Megan or Shagas. You know, those smart cars. Whether it's a smart car or it's a 26-wheeler, if I need that to stop, I just have to press on a very small pedal called the brake pedal. So sometimes we look for impact from big things. But God is saying, be careful and pay attention to the small little things. So this Bible verse says, not the big bears, not the loud lions, it's the little foxes, the small tiny things, the small quiet and sneaky things are the ones that are causing the damage in our lives. Big things will make a lot of noise. Big things will announce themselves when they're coming. But sometimes small things are very subtle in how they appear. Nobody wakes up one morning and suddenly things have gone haywire. It's when we stop praying for a day. It's when we stop reading the Bible for a day. By the way, our calendars are out. Please interact with our Bible reading plan. This month, we are looking at a spiritual MOT on our website. There are some questions that you can use to examine yourself if you are walking right with God. It is one offense that causes bitterness. It is one disappointment that causes a life of resentment. It is one neglected prayer meeting that begins to cool the fire of God in your life. It is one little attitude in your life that becomes a habit that becomes a nightmare. So, what is God telling us to do today? He's not telling us to get rid of the vineyard. He's not telling us to get rid of what we are doing. He's telling us to go back to the little things that are happening in your life and pay attention to them. My grandfather passed away last week on Friday, and he got buried this week on Tuesday. And when I was asked to write a tribute, I remember the many interactions I had with him. And he had such a weird sense of humor, very quiet, silent humor, sometimes just like my humor, which lands on you just between the car park and your front door. Sometimes his humor takes a while to marinate. But there is one thing he told me that I will never forget. In a humorous, my native language is Kikuyu, in a humorous way, and he said that, what is a hyena? It's a hyena. A hyena will never invade a compound, not unless the family dog has breached the fence. Now, let that land. For those who don't know what hyenas look like, you might want to Google that maybe later. A hyena is a very, I was just about to say ugly animal, but I will not say that. It is an animal that is ferocious. Hyenas don't care if you're alive or dead. They don't kill their prey before they start eating their prey. They're just savage. And so when hyenas invade a compound, they mutilate and kill almost anything, especially goats, chicken, what have you, sheep. But my grandfather told me that a hyena will never come to a compound, not unless the family dog has breached the fence. What is my point? That it is the gap that you allow. It is a fox that sneaks in that spoils everything. So I want to just give you some three ways of how we can mind the little foxes. And as you can tell, for those who've listened to my sermon, I've cut my sermon with more than half because I don't want to keep us for long and I don't want to keep the children to get bored. That be mindful and be careful when things are going well in your life. The Bible says the vineyard is blooming. It is fruitful. You have potential. You're beginning to experience success. You've come from New Day. You've had a wonderful experience of worship. God is doing miracles in your life. You are being promoted left, right, and center. You are enjoying the goodness of God. You're growing spiritually. You can sense it. You know, one good thing about growth is that people can see growth. All right, my wife, sometimes when we discuss some people we used to know in our younger age, I told you we grew up together, she says, oh my goodness, this one has become so big. I left them when they were toddlers. And there is a Kenyan proverb that says, a child does not have a stone put on them that they cannot grow. I wish you understood my native language. It would come out so well. So they will grow. They will change. If they are little kids, when you look at my daughter Kyla, see her in 10 years' time, she'll have gone through puberty. She'll have changed. Same thing with spiritual growth. We can tell, we can sense, we can see. Somebody called me recently and told me that this sister is in a good place spiritually. She's walking well with the Lord because it can be seen. So it is when life is happening and God is moving in your life that you need to be careful. The Bible says that let that person who thinks they are standing watch out lest they fall. Simon keeps on telling me that stewardship in a time of scarcity is not the issue. Stewardship in times of abundance is what is the problem. Let that sink. It is not when you are counting pennies. It is when God starts flooding your bank account with dollars and with pounds that you gotta be very prudent in how you steward the resources that God gives you. So these times of spiritual growth and revival, and God is doing great things, we gotta be careful because we don't want to lose the harvest. We don't want to lose the fruit before it matures. We don't want to waste what God is doing. So I'll give you three ways of how we can catch the little foxes. Number one is don't negotiate with small compromises. A little offense becomes bitterness. And there is so much you can talk about this in the Bible. It says, do not let the root of bitterness grow. The Bible says, do not give foothold to the enemy. You know, a foothold, I don't know how many people do rock climbing. Don't let the enemy find a place where they can put their foot to start climbing your life. Don't give him an inch because he will take a mile. Don't leave any window open or any door open. A little prayerlessness becomes your spiritual dryness. A little dishonesty becomes deception. Boys and girls, mommy says, have you brushed your teeth? And you say, yes, because you know they're downstairs, you're upstairs, they'll not come and check. You sneak to bed. That subtle lie eventually becomes a big thing you might have to contend with in life, especially when you get away with it. You know, in the festival we've just come from, Shagas was our discipline master. For those who don't know, Shagas is a British Army veteran. I know he doesn't like me saying that. But for this one, he really came out as a regimental sergeant major. Push-ups, press-ups. You can't beat him if he decides to run after you. Running after them and catching them. It is such a blessing to have soldiers in the army, in the kingdom. And sometimes we feel like our parents are hunting us down, wanting to ensure that we've done this. But it's that day when they decide, you know what, we're going to give you a field day that young people, your character, your integrity is tested. Who are you when your parents are not knocking on your bedroom door to see if you've done what you're supposed to do? So little things, don't make little compromises. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6 says, the Bible says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So what you tolerate today will dominate your tomorrow. Those habits you begin to do. Do you know the who has my pen? The word habit. Megan, do you mind assisting me doing this? I hadn't planned to do this. I've just remembered it, and I think it's a good demonstration. Write for us the word habit there. H-A-B-I-T. I heard someone say that one of the hardest things to get rid of life, to get rid of in life, is a habit. And I will tell you why. Because once it has grown and you start dealing with it, in one ear, all you might get rid of is a H. Cross out the H. What remains? A bit still remains. And then you go to New Day, you go to Faith, oh, it's not Faith Camp, what is the other one? Big Church Festival, and you go to this other, and then the Lord moves mightily in your life, you get spirit-filled, and then the A goes. What remains? There's a bit that still remains. And then we pray and we fast and we lay hands on you. We do deliverance and all that kind of a thing. And then the B goes. And what remains? It still remains. Thank you, Megan. Can I host it? You get the point. So the easiest way of dealing with bad negative habits is not allowing them to exist in the first place. In risk management, we teach that the easiest way to eliminate the risk is to get rid of the hazard. So don't allow it to happen. And the other way around, if you want to develop good habits, start doing them. And it will be very hard to get rid of them. Start praying. Start reading the word. Start doing fellowship. Start doing all the wonderful things you want to do. I've been going to the gym with my mouth for the last 2 years. And I'm still hoping that God will give me some grace for my mouth. For my legs to catch up with my mouth. Because my mouth has been going to the gym a lot, but my legs have not found their way there. But the easiest thing to do is to start those good habits of grace. And you've heard me so many times calling them habits of grace. Because once you start them, it will be very hard to get rid of them. Number two, gird the vineyard. Not just the fruit, the whole vineyard. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, gird your heart. For everything you do flows from it. It is a condition of your heart. Foxes only enter where there is an opening. So the vineyard needs watchmen and strong boundaries. I'm going to give you some scriptures here. Ephesians 4:27, the Bible says, do not give the devil a foothold. I've already explained that. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. So, examine your wall, examine your fence. Where are the foxes coming through? Is it unforgiveness? Is it pride? Is it neglected prayer? Is it your ungirded eyes and ears? You listen just to anything and you allow yourself to see and watch anything. Is it isolation? What is that avenue the enemy is using to come and spoil what God is doing in your life? Or maybe even in your family. Maybe in your business. Maybe in your workplace, you're a leader. What is that gap that you've left that the foxes are coming in through? I like this quote, that every vineyard is only as safe as the gate you leave open. Number three, fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Every Sunday here, before we go home, we say the benediction, the words of the grace. Are we going to go for it? Now, may the grace and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What is fellowship? It is communion. It is intimacy. It is that close walk with the Lord. Notice the language here. Solomon is saying, catch for us. Not catch for me, it's catch for us. Sometimes we don't have what it takes to deal with this, but the Holy Spirit enables us to do these things. Because I believe that God is willing and happy to see us thrive and enjoy what he's doing in our lives. I'm just going to give you some supporting verses for this, and then we're going to pray together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 2. The Bible says, if anyone falls away, restore one another gently and carry each other's burden. James 5 and verse 16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. Encourage one another daily so that no one is hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And I can give you many, many others. The point here is, every single day, fellowship and commune with the Lord. Commune with the Holy Spirit. If you are in fellowship with the Spirit, you'll be in fellowship with your fellow believer. Because the Holy Spirit will expose to you what you cannot see in yourself. How many people have ever heard of a window called the Johari window? Johari window? Okay, yeah, I can see a few hands going up. Yeah. Anna, your hand is up. What is a Johari window? Good. Yep. So a Johari window is something that is taught, I don't know in what discipline, could be very wrong on this, in many disciplines. It's a multidisciplinary application thing. It has four quadrants. There is a first box. So if you think of a big rectangle that is divided into four, there is a first box that is called the arena. The arena is what you know about yourself and we know about yourself. Okay? So for argument's sake, you know I'm a man and I know I'm a man. There is no question, there is no doubt about it. You know, it's daytime, everybody knows. So you know, I know, it's in the open. The next window next to it is called the blind spot. The blind spot is what others can see about you, but yourself, you cannot see it. If you're a driver and you've ever failed a driving test, there is a very good chance it was something to do with mirror signal maneuver or blind spot. That is how I failed my first driving test about 20 years ago. I was too robotic in my driving. I was just looking at the mirror like this. Then someone mentored me and told me, Victor, swing your head like a rubber duck. Swing it, swing it, swing it. So that the examiner can actually see. So even if you can see without swinging your head. So next time I did it, looking everywhere, blind spot, over my shoulder, as in I was so animated in there, I just had to pass. You know, I had to pass. So that blind spot is what other people can see about you, but yourself you cannot see. That is why I love feedback. By the way, I love feedback a lot. At the back there, I've seen we've got some scripts where you can write some feedback for us to just, you know, if you think it's too hot, if it's too cold. I'm not talking about a critical spirit that we talked about last Sunday. I'm talking about constructive feedback. That makes you see areas in your life that you otherwise would not have seen. Then there's another quadrant down here. It's called a facade. A facade is what you know, but others don't know. It's what you know, what you and God know, but nobody in your life knows. And the last one is called the unknown. You don't know, we don't know, nobody does it. No, nobody knows, so we do something called joint discovery. My point here is each and every one of us has a blind spot, whether you like it or not. You have a blind spot. Sometimes I will say some things, my wife will tell me that had no grace. Reward, because that had no grace at all. Sometimes you will do things and I will say, maybe we could have done it differently. Instead of taking offense, just take the feedback and see what to do. What is my point here? Fellowship helps us to work together in unity. Fellowship helps us to triumph together. Fellowship is me holding you shoulder by shoulder, walking together. My weakness is masked by your strength. Your weakness is masked by my strength. And we walk on together triumphantly. One thing that made New Day a success this week was unity of purpose and unity of spirit. We were in fellowship. Psalm 133 says, there the Lord commands a blessing. Close your eyes. Just do an introspection. What door have I left open in my life? And maybe what foxes am I trying to chase away? I was just about to say hunting, but I realized that fox hunting is outlawed in the UK, so I'm going to say that. Together, we can catch those foxes. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can catch those little foxes. So just tell the Lord, Lord, you know I'm struggling with the fox of lack of gratitude. I'm not a thankful person. I'm a cynical person. I'm always suspicious of other people's agenda. Lord, you know I'm struggling with the fox of fear. Fear paralyzes me, Lord, that I'm not able to fulfill my mission. You know, I'm struggling with a fox of bitterness in my spirit. I'm struggling with a fox of pride. I'm struggling with a fox of disrespect and not being obedient to my parents. I'm struggling with a fox of impatience. I'm struggling with a fox of unkindness. You know the fox, just name it, name it. And then tell the Lord, Lord, catch for me these foxes. Or give me the grace to catch this fox. Because I don't want them to spoil what you are doing in my life. Small things have big impacts. A mosquito's lifespan is about a week. But mosquitoes kill more people per year than any other animals. Mosquitoes have killed more people since records began than any war that has ever been fought. A mosquito is a very tiny insect, but the damage it causes is a lot. So many of us are very busy looking for lions that scare us, the lions that frighten us, but God is saying, it's the mosquitoes I want to deal with. That leakage, the constant dripping of water in your bathroom might make you redo the whole floor. If it's in your roof, if left unchecked, you might have to do the whole roof all over again. If it's along a wall, you might have to rebuild that wall. It's a leakage we need to address. That place where I'm constantly losing energy every single day. God wants to do some plumbing work to you today. Historically, we are likely not to ever experience some of the storms that we see in other parts of the world. But it's the minor little things that cause more destruction and damage. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we come to you in humble adoration. And we pray that you give us the strength to mind the little things. The bit in the mouth that controls the horse. That spark that can light a very destructive fire. The rudder that controls a ship. And the tongue that shapes and impacts lives and destinies. Give us the consciousness, Lord, to watch out, to mind and to tame the little things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.